I went to this church and they wouldn't let me do nothing. Well, they offered to let me mow the yard and clean the church and this and this and this, but I didn't want to do all that. And you get right down to it, they want to take care of the money, or they want to teach Sunday school. They want to do something that you don't need. But anyway, I'm glad that the Lord is able to use all of us, and He does have a purpose for our life. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 37. I'm going to read three verses, I guess, tonight and try to bring a message that the Lord's laid on my heart. I'll be reading a few more verses out of the book of Genesis and maybe another place or two. But here in the book of Psalms, chapter number 37, this is a wonderful psalm. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, I guess. But the psalmist said in verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us another privilege to stand and to preach the word tonight. Lord, I ask you, God, just to anoint this preacher. Lord, anoint the word of God tonight. Lord, help us, Father, to get this message delivered the way that you give it to us. Lord, help us, Father, to maybe touch a heart here somewhere in this building tonight. Help us, dear Lord, to realize that there's work to be done in the kingdom of God. Be with us now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I'd have a thought tonight, it would be fulfilling your purpose with joy. And everybody's got a purpose in life. If the Lord didn't have something for us to do when He saved us, He'd just took us home. That would be, I mean, you'd say, Lord, save me, and He'd write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're out of here, you know. But He left us here for a purpose, and that purpose was to be used by the Lord and to do His will. The psalmist started off here tonight in the 23rd verse, and he said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And I tell you something, if you are trying to serve God, and when I read this, steps of a good man, it's hard for me to stand and say I'm a good man, because the rich man came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good?" So it's hard for me to look at this and say, well, I guess I'm a good man because I'm trying to let the Lord order my steps. But what he's saying here, if you're a man or a woman that is after God's heart, the Bible said that Samuel told Saul, I believe, that the Lord has found a man after his own heart. Now, David, I don't think he probably looked at himself to be a good man either, but he was a man that loved God. And that is the difference maker right there. If you love the Lord, He'll direct your steps and He'll lead you in the way that He wants you to go. And if you'll go in the way that the Lord leads you, the Bible said in the last part of that verse that He delighteth in His ways. And I'm glad tonight that I can delight in the way of the Lord. I'm glad that when the Lord wants to use me, I try to make myself available. Sometimes I think, well, I'm not qualified to do that. But I want to tell you something, if you'll try, you'll find out you're qualified to do more than sometimes you may think you are. So the psalmist here, he said the steps of a man that loves God is ordered by the Lord. And I tell you, I've noticed in my lifetime, the Lord's led me in places that I never would have went on my own. I never would have went there. from the time that I got saved and I grow up, I started trying to do such things for the Lord. And I remember one first time they asked me to teach Sunday school. I thought, man, I don't think I can do that. But you know something? I studied, I stood up, and God gave me something to say. And God called me to preach. I said, I can't do that. But you know something? I found out, and I still can't preach. But as long as the Lord does the preaching, I guess I do a pretty good job standing behind the pulpit. I'm not the preacher. The Holy Ghost of God is the preacher. If there's any preaching done, it's God that does it and not me. A friend of mine asked me one time, he said, are you still preaching this after about 20 years? And I said, I've not found anywhere to stop. And he said, well, you must be getting pretty good by now. And I said, if I ever get good, I'll quit. You know, because I can't do this. But through the Holy Spirit of God and through Him guiding my steps, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengtheneth me. The Bible tells us that Joseph's brothers over in the book of Genesis, they sold him into Egypt because they didn't like him. They didn't want him around. He was a dreamer and they didn't like his dreams. They didn't like anything about Joseph. He'd tell them a dream. They said, when donkeys fly, basically what they would say, that's not ever going to happen. He said, I dreamed that y'all came bowed down to me, and they said, ain't going to happen in this lifetime. Well, guess what? Listen, I'll tell you something. When God gets into things, things happen that you might say, I'll never do that. You might be, I wouldn't say never. I told a man one time, he said, you ever pastor a church? I said, no, and I never will. Boy, that's the worst thing I ever said. Been pastoring just about ever since then. But I enjoy it. I really do. But at the time, I really had no intention of doing that. I enjoyed evangelistic work. I wasn't a pastor. But you know what? Within about 3 or 4 weeks after that, God done me the same way He did Saul. When he turned and left Samuel that day, God gave him a different heart. And I'll tell you something, when God gives you a job, He'll give you a heart to do the job. And so God has changed my heart and turned me into something that I never had a desire to be, but I love it now. Somebody said it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. It's rough. Yeah, it's worse than it used to be. Yeah, it is. But I still enjoy it. I really do. I love people. I love the church. I love what I do. I love God. And so I'm happy doing what I'm doing, but it's what I at one time said I never would do. I tell you, don't ever say never, because never's a long time. I've said that 2 or 3 times. I've learned now I don't do that anymore. I ain't saying never about nothing, because I tell you, God's got a way of changing our thoughts about never. But Joseph here in the 45th verse of Genesis, chapter of Genesis, in the 4th verse, Bible said that Joseph's brothers was down here, and they'd had several encounters. They sold him into Egyptian bondage, sold him to a caravan going into Egypt, a caravan of Ishmaelites, and he took him down into Egypt. And the Bible tells us that when he got there, a man named Potiphar took him and put him over the affairs of his house, and it wasn't too bad. But Potiphar's wife got into the arrangements and messed everything up. And the next place we find Joseph is in the prison. But even there, the prison guard made him the head over the prisoners. But I want to tell you something. If you're in prison, it don't matter what your job is, you're still in prison. And if you're in prison, that means you don't have the liberty to go and do as you would like to go and do. So it was still bad. But Joseph interpreted a couple of dreams for some people, a butler and a baker, and they came to pass. And so he told the butler, when you get out of here, you go tell Pharaoh about me. I don't want to be here. I got no business here. I didn't do anything to be here. I just want to go home. And the butler said, I'll tell him. And the butler left, and he didn't tell nobody nothing. But after a period of time, the king had a dream, and nobody could interpret it. And the butler finally remembered. He said, "Hey, I've had an error in my ways. And I tell you, I know somebody can tell you exactly what that dream means." And then he told about Joseph. And so they went and pulled Joseph out of the prison. And they cleaned him up, put clean clothes on him, brought him in before the king. And he interpreted his dream. And he wound up being made second in command under Pharaoh over the whole nation of Egypt. And I want to tell you something, that's pretty good, going from the outhouse to the White House. You know, that's about what Joseph did. He went from down in the dungeon all the way up the ladder. He didn't take steps. He took the elevator and went all the way to the top because God was with him. Listen, when God is with you, when God directs your steps and you will allow Him to use you, I'm going to tell you something. God can bless you in ways that you never dreamed about. And I'm sure that Joseph never imagined being the prime minister of Egypt. He never imagined working under Pharaoh. He never imagined being over everybody in Egypt. That imagination could have never came to a poor boy out of Israel. But that's exactly what God did. And so Joseph, his brothers here, they done been here a couple of times and they're fixing to move down here. They just don't know it yet. And so Joseph said to his brothers in verse 4 of 45th chapter, he said, "Come near unto me, and they, I pray thee." And they came near, and he said, "I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Now don't you know that that knocked them for a loop. "I haven't seen my brother in 10 or 15 years, and all of a sudden I find out this man I've been bowing down to is the same man that said I was going to do that, and I said I wasn't, but here I have been, and he's been striking fear in my heart, and it's the same brother that we sold into Egypt years ago." And he said, "Y'all sold me into Egypt." I read this and I think about Saul on the road to Damascus. And old Saul, he's going along and the light shined out and he heard a voice and he fell to the earth and he said, "Lord, who art you?" And the voice said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." It's about the same thing, different words, but listen, Jesus said, "I'm Jesus that you persecute." He said, "I'm Joseph that you sold into bondage." This is a type of Christ Joseph is. And the Bible said now, in the fifth verse, he said, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves." I don't know if they were or not. They might have just been guilty. You know, they might have had a big guilt trip going on. But he said, "Don't be angry. And don't be angry about this. And don't be upset about this. Don't be angry with yourself that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." He said, "Y'all sold me to that caravan, but God is the one that sent me here. Y'all thought you sent me here. All these years you've talked about sending me here, but it was really God that brought me here ahead of you to preserve life." Had to be this way. Listen, Joseph, he said, "Don't y'all feel bad about this. The pathway that I'm walking was appointed by God. Listen, I'm glad when the pathway that I walk in is appointed by God. And I can just almost feel His hands on my shoulders just turning and guiding me as I walk down life's pathway." And I want to tell you something, there's no greater feeling in the world than to know that you're where God wants you to be. When you're in the center of God's will, that's the best and the greatest feeling that there is in the whole world. And I'm thankful that I've felt that many times in my life. Everything that happens bad in your life is not always bad. Sometimes we sit around and we say, I don't know why that had to happen to me. You just hang on, because if you love God and you're one of these, the Bible said, a good person, that and God is guiding you and He's directing your path, you hold on, you'll find out why that happened. I've had things happen to me before and I couldn't understand. And I said, I don't know why that happened. I don't get it at all. But about a year, maybe a year go by, 2 years go by, and all of a sudden the light came on, and God said, here's why that happened back yonder. Listen, God knows what's in your future. You don't. So when something that you say that's bad happens to you, if God allowed it to happen, if God directed your pathway into that situation, don't you worry about it. You just hold on to God, and I guarantee you, He'll bring you out the other side of it. And when He does, you'll get an understanding of what was going on. So everything that's bad is not really bad if it's the hand of God that's leading you. He's trying to accomplish something through you that He would never accomplish without this situation in your life, whatever it is. And I've had a lot of them in my life. I've had a lot of situations and things come up in my life, and I think, man, why did this happen? And then all of a sudden, just a little bit later on down the road, something else happened. I say, you know, if that hadn't happened back there, this wouldn't be happening right here.
That's right.
And God said, that's right. Because I am the one that's guiding and driving you and leading you. And I am appointing your steps. And I am ordering the steps that you take. So you just stay with me and we'll get through this. I'm like Thomas. Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again, receive you in myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. And Thomas said, how in the world are we going to get there? Well, Jesus just told him, I'm coming to get you. Thomas didn't hear that. He's like me a lot of times. If it was up to me, if Jesus said, I'm in heaven waiting on you, I'd say, I don't know how to get there. I can't get there. But I know one thing tonight. If I just keep holding on to Him, He knows the way. I'm following the one that knows the way where I'm going. And if you'll follow Him tonight, He'll take care of you. The Bible goes on here and says, and God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. I looked up that word posterity. You know what it means? It means your lineage. It means God promised Abraham. He said, I'm going to make your seed as the sands of the sea. And He said, look up, Abraham. You see the stars? If you can count all of them, you can count how many people are going to be born into your family. And Abraham didn't even have the first son yet. God made promises to Abraham that didn't happen in Abraham's lifetime, but it happened over a period of time. Everything that God says is not going to happen today, but you just hold on and believe God, because it's going to happen sooner or later. When they came into Egypt, I think there was 70 souls came out of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, 400 years later, there was over 600,000 men, not counting women and children. So Joseph's telling his brothers here, he said, don't feel bad about what you did. Even though you should. I mean, hey, I'm your flesh and blood, and you sold me to an Egyptian caravan. You are to feel bad about that. But he didn't say that. He said, don't y'all worry about what you did, because it wasn't you. It was God's way of getting me down here and getting me established and making me what He has made me and putting me in the position that I am put in so that I could preserve your life and your posterity. He said, I'm going to save your lives with a great deliverance. Are we fulfilling the purpose that God has in our lives? Every one of us got a purpose. If you're breathing, you've got a purpose. If you're saved by God's grace, you've got a purpose. Are you fulfilling that purpose? And are you doing it with joy in your heart? Or are you grumbling all the time that you're trying to do it? I hope you're joyful about doing it. Even sometimes it's not really pleasant. Sometimes I've had to do things I really didn't want to do. I remember a job I was working on one time, and every time my press would break down and they was working on it, they didn't want you standing around, so they'd put me down the hole shoveling scrap up into a conveyor belt. And I was down there slipping and sliding around in oil. I mean, it was a pit full of oil. I had oil in there. I was getting it all over me. And I hated when I had to get down in that pit. But it's part of my job. And every time my machine tore up, I had to go into the pit. Because they were going to make me do something. And I guess that was the worst job they had. So they give it to me. I don't know. That's what I felt like anyway at the time. Listen, there's been things that I have done for the Lord. And I thought, God, is this the worst job you got? Is that why you give it to me? But I'm going to tell you something. If we'll do what God puts before us with joy.
That's right.
I tell you, you can listen, you can gripe and grumble and complain about it. And that's what I did in that pit. I tried to get out of it every which way in the world. I'd offer to clock out and go home early. I just want out of this pit. Man, that's all. I don't like it in here. I don't want to be in here. But I spent a lot of time in there. Anyway, but listen, you can be like that and grumble and gripe all the way through it. Or you can smile and say, at least I'm doing something. You know, I mean, it depends on how we look at things, how we handle it. We should have joy in our heart when we're doing something for the Lord. Even if it's something you don't really want to do. Brother Carson mows the yard, does a wonderful job. He does a lot of things around here. Sometimes he does things around here a lot of people don't know about. And he does good on everything he does. I've never heard him complain about anything. I want to tell you something. You give me a weed eater and say, go out there and weed eat on that, I'd probably be grumbling, griping, and belly aching. That's not my job. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying that's not what I want to do. But he does it. He just goes on and just sings and whistles and just smiles. You can handle it either way you want to. You can either make it a terrible job and have to endure it, or you can enjoy it. And there's things that other people do around here that I'm telling you, you can either fuss about it and gripe about it and grumble about it, or you can smile about it and just keep going. Listen, I'll tell you something. We need to do the work of the Lord with joy in our heart. And I tell you something, it'll make the work a lot easier and you'll enjoy it a whole lot more. And who knows, you might even lead somebody to Jesus through that kind of stuff. Joseph said, don't y'all worry about what you did. I know you should be. You should be sorry for it. And I hope you are. But don't worry about it, because it wasn't you. It was God. So many times things have happened in our lives that was God. And I tell you, if we would just ever accept the fact that God is in control of our lives. And he went on and he said, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. If you hadn't have sold me to that caravan that day, I'd be up there in Israel starving to death with you all. But look where God has brought me. He brought me through Potiphar's house. He took me through the dungeon and through the prison. He brought me through some bad times that I didn't really enjoy. But look where I wound up in the end. When God gets done with you, you're going to be in a big place.
Amen.
If we just fulfill His purpose. Do what God wants you to do. I don't care what it is. Fulfill your purpose. I heard a preacher one time said he got saved. He just a teenager. And he said, I got saved. I started walking home that night and said, I got in the busiest street in Los Angeles, California. Stepped out in the street and stood still and waited for a car to run over me. Because I felt so good, I wanted to go to heaven. I mean, he said, I'm saved. I felt like everything was so good. I just wanted to go home. I just wanted to die and go on home. Well, that's the way a lot of people, how many times you heard somebody say, I'd be willing to die for the Lord? Would you be willing to live for Him? Because He don't want you to die. He died for you so you could live for Him. This man said there wasn't a car came down the whole time I was standing in the street. He said, I didn't understand until later that wasn't what God wanted in my life. He had other purpose for me. And His purpose for me was not to get me run over by a car as soon as I got saved. And so he got to preaching the Word of God and leading people to Jesus. Listen, I'll tell you something. If we will fulfill the purpose that God has for us with a smile on our face, I tell you, you can reach a lot of people. And he said, God sent me here to save the nation of Israel. And it was to fulfill a prophecy that God had made to Abraham back in Genesis, I guess around maybe the 15th chapter, somewhere around there, maybe a little farther over than that. But God told Abraham, He said, your seed is going to go into a strange land and they're going to stay there 400 years and they're going to be servants, and then I'm going to deliver them out of that country, and when I do, they're going to come out of there with great substance. I believe is the way he said that. In other words, they're not going to come out poor. They're going to come out rich. Now, I'll tell you something. How's a bunch of slaves get out of slavery and be rich? Because God said so. And so that's why Joseph was here, setting up for that very purpose. And he got the nation of Israel down there, 70 souls. And he got them over in the land of Goshen, away from Egypt and away from the Egyptians. And yeah, they were slaves for 400 years. And they cried to God, and God heard their cry. And he sent Moses down there and led them out. And before they left, they went around and they borrowed from the Egyptians. And when they came out of Egypt, they was rich. Why? Because God said it back in Genesis. And Joseph was what happened to Joseph was a stepping stone to God fulfilling that prophecy that he gave to Abraham. And Esther was a Judah, a Israelite. She was of the children of Judah. And down there they had been in bondage for 70 years, and they had been released, but some of them went back to Egypt or back to Israel and back to Judah, and some of them liked it down there so much they stayed, and she was among the ones that stayed with Uncle Mordecai. And so when it came about that they needed a queen down there, and she went in and I guess applied for the job. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. She got picked among the women that they was interviewing and reviewing to be the queen. And she was the one that was selected. And Haman was a man that was, he hated Mordecai because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. And so he decided, because of that, he got with the king and he said, we need to destroy all these people. And the king passed a decree on a certain day, tell everybody down here to kill every Jew they see. And so Mordecai got word to Esther what was happening and said, you better go and talk to the king about this. And she said, if I go in before the king and he don't raise the golden scepter, he will kill me. If I'm not invited, I can't go. And Mordecai said, if you don't go, we're all going to die. And so she said, everybody fast and pray. And I'll tell all the women here with me to fast and pray for several days. I don't remember the number of days, maybe 3 or 4 days. And she said, after that, I'll go. But Mordecai said to her, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to this kingdom for such a time as this? When you find yourself in a place and you say, I don't know why I'm here, how do you know that it's not for such a time as this? Mordecai said, it may be for this very purpose that God has put you where you're at. Are you fulfilling the purpose that God has for you? We've all got a purpose. We're here for a reason. And we need to be fulfilling that purpose in our lives. Now Esther, she was a little hesitant about going, but she finally went. And when she did, she talked to the king and told him what was going on. And he passed another that sent out posts with letters saying, on this certain day when they start to kill the Jews, every Jew kill everybody they can. And so she delivered her people. And Mordecai said, this may be the purpose why God has you where He has you. Why does God have you where you are? There's got to be a purpose for it. There's a purpose for everything that we do. 37th chapter of Psalm, verse 24, said, though he fall, he's talking about this good man that God's directing his pathway and ordering his steps. He said, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You ever remember your dad? Maybe you're walking and you trip and fall, and dad's got to hold your hand and you don't fall down. You trip and you fell, but your dad lifted you up because he's got a hold of your hand. He's got a hold of you. And he set you back up on your feet. And you may walk a few steps and trip again. But dad's got a hold of you. And he picks you back up. Listen, that's the way God is with me. I'm walking and I trip. And God picks me back up. I'm walking and I trip. And God picks me back up. I'm walking. The devil throws something out in front of me. And I stumble and fall over it. And God picks me back up. And David said here, the psalmist said here, he said, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. There's times that we may stumble, but the Lord's going to hold you. He's going to hold you by the hand, and he's going to pick you up again. Oh, listen, there's times when you get to the point, and I know because I've been there many times, and you come to the place where you think, I just can't go anymore. I just can't do this anymore. I just don't feel like doing this. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm weary. I'm vexed or whatever. And I just don't think I can do this anymore. And the Lord reaches down and picks you up by the hand and says, just a few more steps. Just a few more steps. I want to tell you something. When I reach the pearly gates, when I get in view of the pearly gates, I don't want to be laying by the side of the road saying I just can't make it. I want to just keep pressing on. I want to press on because it's not going to be very far until I see that land. Over the next hill, we may be home. The old song says that. I've traveled so many miles and I traveled up and down so many roads, so many highways. And I get tired and I think, man, I need to stop. But you know something, over this next hill, I may be where I'm going. And it'd be awful to give up on this side of the hill when where I'm going is just on the other side. And I push myself to go farther. I was driving a truck for a company. And a couple of us came out of Kingsport, Tennessee, or Johnson City, somewhere up that way, and we was coming home, and we was talking on the CB and coming down the road, and we got out here all the way to exit 398. And this one guy said, I can't make it any farther. I'm just too tired. I've been up too many hours. I've drove too many miles. I said, man, we're less than 12 miles from the house. We done passed the sign that said 12 miles to Knoxville. He said, I don't care if it's 2 miles. I can't make it. And he got off the exit and pulled into a truck stop and went to sleep. I said, ain't no way. I'd get out and walk before I'd go to sleep 2 miles from the house. I mean, but you see, people, Christian people sometimes are like that. They say, I went too far. I've tried too hard. I've done too much, and I'm just so weary, and I'm so worn, and I just can't make it. I've got to stop. Don't stop. Just keep going, because the lights of home, they're in view. Listen, we need to just keep on keeping on. Keep on going. The psalmist in the 37th chapter in the 25th verse, one of my favorite verses, he said, I have been young, now I'm old, Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There's a song that says, oh, I've never, no, never, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I want to tell you something. I've been down. I've been just about out, but I have never, ever been without anything because God always provides and supplies for me. Preacher, I don't know how he does it because he sure don't for me. Are you living for him? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing for him? Is your life in his hands? Are you allowing him to use you like he wants to? Or are you just doing what you want to do and haphazardly living for the Lord and not really caring if you're doing right or not? I don't know the situation, but I know one thing. Either if the Bible, the psalmist said, I was young, now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Either that's the truth or it's not the truth. You can believe it or not, I choose to believe it. And the reason I choose to believe it is because Matthew 7, Jesus talking. See, people, when you're preaching that, and they'll come to you after this, yeah, but that's in the Old Testament. I don't care which testament it's in. We carry both of them for a reason, because we believe both of them. It don't matter to me which one it comes out of. I can take anything in the Old Testament and back it up in the New Testament, or the other way around. But Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. This Son of God said this. Now, is he lying too, or is this the truth? It's the truth. I'm telling you it is. And he goes on and he said, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened. That's the true word of God. That's what it says. And he said, or what man is there of you whom if his son asked bread would give him a stone? I've never met a man like that. Well, I don't know. In this day and time we live in, I think there's a lot of mamas probably like that. They'd rather take care of their own self. But Jesus, he said, who's going to give their son a stone instead of a piece of bread? Or if he asks a fish, we'll give him a serpent. I don't know anybody like that. The worst people I know is not like that. He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Listen, Jesus will take care of us if we're living for him. If we'll fulfill our purpose with joy. If we'll fulfill what God has asked us to do. If the Lord wants you to sing, and I don't believe God calls singers. I've heard some singing groups, they say we're called to sing. I don't believe that. I believe there's three callings in the Bible. Well, two callings actually. There's preaching and teaching. Anything else I don't think is a calling. But but God does give people talent to sing. God uses people to sing. I'm not taking anything away from singing. I'm not at all. I love singing. I love to sing. Somebody asked me one time, said, do you have any special singers ever come to your church? I said, every singer I've got in my church is special. You know, people want to come in, but what they want to come in for is to put on a concert. They're not coming to hear any preaching. I know a lady, she said, I was inviting her and her husband to the preacher's fellowship. Her husband's a pastor, and she said, boy, he needs some preaching. He preaches all the time. Nobody ever preaches to him. I said, he needs to go with me to that preacher's fellowship meeting. He'll get all the preaching he wants. She said, we sung in a group. Said people would call us to come and sing. And we hardly ever heard any preaching. Because after we sung, they dismissed service and the preacher wouldn't preach. That's what most singing groups go for. They don't want to be around where there's going to be any preaching. I made one mad here. I mean, if I told you his name, you know him. And he got upset with me because he wanted to come here and put on a show for us. And I said, no. Well, I didn't say anything. I just ignored his request. And then he sent me another email and said, forget it. I don't even want to come anyway. And I'm thinking, well, that's good because I didn't want you. You know what I mean? But not that I got anything against people. But hey, I'm telling you something. God has given us talent here in this church. And I like to get around to my people and let them sing. I don't need nobody. There's a group or two that I might invite in here to sing. Not very many. But I tell you something. Preaching and teaching is only callings that God has. But God will equip you to do a whole lot of things. He'll give you talent to sing. He may give you talent to play an instrument. He may give you talent and He may give you ability to do other things. And God's got something. Like I said, everybody has something that you can do. I came in here, well, actually on a Saturday night, my wife showed me a picture. She said, I was going to wait till tomorrow, but I just can't wait. Look what Miss Sandy did. And man, it's beautiful. It's not a, you look at it, and it's not really a lot, but it's enough. See, it just, I couldn't have done it. It's just exactly what was needed. And I walked in there and looked at it Sunday morning. I thought, man, that's incredible. God, give her that gift to do that. And she did. I appreciate it. I appreciate anything anybody does. If you're fulfilling your purpose, I don't care what your purpose is. If your purpose is just to lean over and pick a piece of paper up out of the floor, do that. Don't say, well, I didn't put it there and I'll let somebody else pick it up. That's not the right attitude. Fulfill your purpose. If your purpose is singing in the choir, get up there and sing. If your purpose is special singing, sing. If your purpose is teaching, teach. If your purpose is to testify, testify. Whatever. God's got something for you to do. So fulfill your purpose. And then you know what? When time comes and the Lord calls you home, you can leave and stand before the Lord and say, God, I did best I know how to do. I tried. I tried to fulfill my purpose. And if I didn't, it's not because I didn't give it my best shot. I tell you, we're going to stand before God one day, and I want Him to say, well done. I don't want Him to say, I'm ashamed of you because you never done nothing for me. I want Him to say, I'm well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Are we fulfilling our purpose tonight? That's the message. While they come get us a song tonight, are you fulfilling the purpose that God has for you? Father, we thank You for giving us another privilege to stand this evening, Lord, and preach Your precious word. God, I ask You, Lord, just to take this message. God, just stir hearts tonight with it. Lord, if there's anybody here that's not fulfilling their purpose, God, I ask You, Lord, that You would just speak to their heart about doing whatever it is that You want them to do. My wife sung a song a while ago, said, Jesus, use me. Lord, that's what we all are to have a desire to do, is to be used of You in some way, some form, some fashion. Lord, I ask You to use us tonight. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, God, You can't use them till they come and accept You. Lord, I ask You, Father, tonight just to have Your way in hearts and lives here this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we stand tonight and while we sing.